Good evening to you all. I think it was last year, Brother Mark Shelley took Luke chapter 15. And that day, he finished chapter 15 in one day. I went home and started reading. Some way, it clicked in my heart and my mind. I start keep on reading it. I want to turn to Luke chapter 15 again. The first couple of words. I read somewhere a good preacher will repeat the key points. Repeated hammering is needed for the nail to go all the way in. I like to read the first two words of Luke chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them. And he spake this parable unto them. Nearing to the end of our Lord's ministry, these Pharisees and scribes continually against him, tried to get him, and now even publicly murmuring against him. It is a very serious mistake or sin they are committing against our Lord. This is the last rebuke from our Lord to those who murmur against him. How beautifully he rebuked them. We got three wonderful parables. I remember one time I went to a home, beautiful house. In their living room, that's a beautiful picture. A nice big tree and a lion. And that's the first frame. And next to the right side, there is another frame, part of the same picture, but it's different. It's the next of the picture, like a big forest. And on the other side, another frame. So there are total three frames, but one picture. It's the beautiful valley and the lion standing and looking at it. The Lord said here, he spake this parable. It's a three frames of one parable. Jesus portrays here how Trinity seek and save. The first parable, we see the lost sheep and the shepherd is going after to find the lost sheep. The second one, when Lord says these parables, there is a big crowd with him. His disciples there, then these scribes and Pharisees, maybe some of the priests were there, try to find something, some fault in him. And there are a lot of these sisters also with him. Because of that, he said something related to the sisters, the next parable, the lost coin. So these both parables, we can see there is a question mark at the end. At verse 4, end with a question mark, until he find it, isn't it? And verse 8, also about the sister looking for the coin, that also ends with a question mark. It says, till she find it, don't she look for it? Yes, of course. But when it comes to the last one, I want to speak a little bit about the last parable. From the verse 12 onwards, there is no question mark there. Some believe Lord personally knew this family who lost their son. So Lord put it in such a nice way, this parable. I think it was Charles Dickens wrote about this parable, the finest short story ever written. So many people spoke about this parable. I think in my life also I heard more about this parable than any other parables. How beautifully Lord put this. Every small word is pregnant with meaning. Let's read that parable. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. May the reading bless into our heart. We are very familiar with this story. The father, the younger one, came to his father and told him, I want my wealth. In those days, the law in Israel, the father don't have to give when he asks for it. Actually, the 2/3 of the property go to the older son, and 1/3 of movable property will be gone to the second one. And if the son asks for it, and the father says, hey, what's the purpose now? He don't have to give it. Father only need to give before his death, or when he is weak, he realized that he is not more going to live any much more time. But this father, in the culture of those places, though they don't have any cell phone or Facebook, I am sure the news already spread all over the family. Maybe his older sisters or uncles and aunts all came to home and tried to counsel this young man. Hey, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Why you want to do this, son? What is wrong with you? You have everything here. Your dad is the richest man here. I have everything you need. Why you want to go? Oh no. He made up his mind. He don't want to listen to anyone. And he walked away from home.
And he went and spent. You know how the money goes, no matter how much it is. It goes and you will have so much friends you never seen before. They all came and enjoyed with him. Let's do this, let's do this. Hey, there is a bar over there or whatever. The money soon ran out. And when we come to verse 17, he came to himself. What does that mean? He went through a lot. He's for a Jew, they don't even touch or go near a pig. Now that's the only job he has. Not only that, there is a big famine. He can't get anything. He has no more friends. There is no way he can turn into. He ended up there because of the necessity. The hunger will make you to do anything. And he waited, and he start starving. He sold all his belonging. He may have a rag around his waist, as a swineherder's maybe uniform, and have a stick. Maybe the first few days, the owner fed him. Now, the famine is so bad. They can't give him anything. They don't have anything to give him. They have a little bit of husk, even ration to the pigs. It says he steals from there. How pathetic he came. Now he starts sit down while looking after them. Start thinking. He may be thought about his past. Man, what did I do? Why did I listen to my uncles and aunts and my dad? I can't survive here. I cannot go like this. So he thought about his future. He saw the present. Now he's thinking about the future. What else I can do to get out of this? Though he did bad against his father, he refused what he asked. Everything, though he knew. Maybe many of the incidents came to his mind, that how the father dealt with other servants. They might have been made mistakes, but father accept him back again. Definitely he will forgive me. He came to himself. And he decided one thing. I will arise. I will arise and go to my father. He wait. If I go, does he going to accept me? Do I have an option? No. But he sincerely believed. If I tell the fact to my dad, forgive me. He trusted in his father because he knew him very well. So he decided, I will arise and go. And he decide what he is going to talk to him about. He look into himself. I sin against heaven. Because he knew in his father's home, they have a connection with heaven. This is not a regular home. So the first thing is, his responsibility is to heaven. Then comes the father. Then comes everything else. So he decide to tell a few things to his father. You know, in my life, I made so many decisions in my life. If I wrote it down somewhere, I don't know how many I did. Many times, we make a lot of decisions. Oh, I have to go to church every Sunday again, or I have to read and study every day. But what happened of those decisions we did? Maybe a basket full of decisions. So many of them, if we look back. Unless we do it. Look at this young man. His situation is so bad. He has, out of necessity, he decided. And the next thing we read, he arose. A grain of action. Many times, a basket of resolution may not help us. But one action will change everything. Are any one of us in the same situation? Made several decisions. I am going to repent. But the time never came. Haven't repented. God showed you that what I am doing is wrong. And any time, look at this young man. He arose. If we look into himself, you know, it's an interesting thing. This man gave him a job. He didn't give a 2 weeks notice to him. You know, that's average here. At least he should go and tell him, sir, thank you so much, you helped me. Can you give me some more money or I am leaving? Nothing. When he realized his pathetic condition, he arose. He decided, no matter what, when you make decision or repent, don't go and ask your present master, is it okay, can I repent? It never happened. He straight went without asking anybody. And he left. He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. The way to the repentance. I can imagine how he may be walking. He had a heavy heart, broken hearted. Can you imagine the feelings going through in his mind? He don't know how his father is going to face him. Didn't I told you don't do this? Look at you now. He eat the food of pigs. He stayed with them. He smelled like one. I lived in Saudi Arabia a few years, about 6 years. About 10 miles away from where we live, there's a big colony of the old Saudis, the old shepherds. They live way away. They don't want to come to the city. They live there. And we happen to drive nearby. About 2-3 miles you reach in that area, keep your windows up. It smells so bad. These people, what I heard was they never ever take shower. And their ladies come to the town. If one of them anywhere in the mall, you can smell everywhere. And on the top of it, they love to have very strong smelling perfume. They spray on the top of it. It's a mixture of such a horrible situation. And I look at so many men, their hair is like just one pack. You can find one piece because the dust and the dirt, and over there it's 90 to 127 degrees temperature. You sweat, 100% humid sometime. And all the dust collect. I can't even think. I mean, I have seen them. How they live without taking a shower. That sheep. Sheep is a clean animal. These were the shepherds. Can you ever think and imagine those days? Taking care of swine? Such a dirty thing. You know, I have seen recently here in US a lot of famous Hollywood people or so and all. They have pigs as pet. I felt like they are not better than that pet. I don't know. I mean, the pigs here look so beautiful. Nice pink color. And they have a nice pink ribbon and all that. Back in Middle East or our Middle East, they don't have. I haven't seen one there. But in India, we have. In my town where I grew up, they have a lot of pigs. They are black, nasty. A pig go by, nobody go near to them. Because they always look for mud. And they lie down. And all that mud all over it. and sometime our bus stand in the town, not far from a mud hole. These pigs sometime ran and go over and just shake the body. I have seen many times people has to go home and change their clothes to go back. So we'll be extremely careful. Nobody likes to be near a pig. And he is, out of all this, they have famine. And he live with them, sleep with them. And he's so downhearted, he's coming home with the stick and a rag on his waist. He's not hurrying to running to go home. No. That days are over. He did that in the past when he was a young kid. Now he's so shy. Step by step, he is walking home. His face, his skin, you look at. When he went from home, his skin was so beautiful. Nice silk dress, shirt, or whatever. But now, his skin almost looked like the pig skin. Dirty and smell. And the father recognized him. You know, I was thinking, maybe the father was sitting home on iPad and watching the news, Fox News. And wife came from the back and touched him. Hey, look through the window, see who is coming. Your son is coming. Or tell him to go and wait in the back. I don't have time now. The mother is not even in the picture. He cannot sleep since his son left. He's always walking back and forth. No peace in his heart. He's always thinking about my son. What could have happened to him? And he's thinking, as soon as his money finish, he will come back. You know, all the other parables, we can see somebody's going after till find. Till they find it, they will be after. But this father is in the home. He didn't go out. But he's looking. And he saw the son is coming. They say the word he saw has a lot of meaning. He saw the past of the son when he was small, how he was. And he can see the present of his son. See, he doesn't look like my son. He looked like a beggar. And he can see the future of his son. Only he can see that. The son doesn't know anything. He's walking very slow to his home. And the father saw him. What a beautiful picture. He had so much compassion. I think the next word he said, we read there, and the father saw him and had compassion. Father had compassion. I don't think there is any other example in the whole word of God better than this. Compassion in action. We read, and the father had compassion and ran. If those who lived in the Middle East, the Arabs, they don't run. If you look at them, the way they dress, it's one robe from here all the way to the floor. Maybe an inch off the ground. That's it. I remember when I lived in Saudi Arabia, they had one rain. In all 6 years, only one rain. And everywhere it was flooded. And I see these Arabs, children, adults, all, they walk. They don't even lift the robe a bit up. It's all get muddy and dirty. They still walk. When Lord's saying this parable, it is in Israel, those people wear the robe, all of them. It is, they do not expose their legs. It is shameful in their culture. The robe they wear, they do not lift it up. They cannot expose their legs to others. But what did this father did? You know, with a robe, have you ever tried to run? You'll never be able to run. The father bring the robe all the way up.
above his knee, which is such a shameful act in that culture. He keep all that all the way up and start running. He took off. In that culture, when the master run, the servants who serve him nearby, all those who see, they will run with him. They don't know why the master is running. There is something in danger. There is some trouble. They all run with him. The father's aim is, he wanted to run beyond the gate, the village gate, or the town. In Israel, they have a gate before they enter into the village. When the son, suppose if the son reach at the gate before the father reach it to him, they have a law of the land. These elders who are sitting at the gate, they will question him, "Who are you?" They already know who he is. When they talk to him, "I am so and so. What do you want here?" "I'm going to see my dad." Wait a minute. The elders get together. They said, "You reject the God of Israel. You reject your father. You reject your father's house. And you left Israel." And they go and take, they have an office. They go and take a pot, a clay pot. And all the elders hold it together and throw it to the floor on a slab and broke that clay pot into so many pieces. That means cut off. Like this, you never ever come back to Israel. You are cut off from Israel. That's the land, the law of the land. In Hebrew, they call it Kishasha ceremony. Once that is done, even the father himself cannot bring his son back in. It will be so painful to get him back. The father, knowing this law, he ran as fast as he can to reach before the son come to the elders. Because his heart, he is eagerly waiting to see his son. But if his son somewhere come and before him to the at the gate, there will be trouble. He cannot imagine the shame the son will go through. So the father took all the shame himself for the son and run as fast as he can. And he grabbed him. Grace before the law. Once the law caught him, it will be very, very hard. The love of the father ran all the way and grabbed him and kissed him. While he's kissing, all the servants are right with him. He told each one, "Go and get the best robe. You go and get the ring. You go and get the shoes." The father has no time to listen what the son has to say to him. When he decides that in his heart, the father already heard what is in his heart. The father took so much shame and pain and ran all the way across the gate and grabbed his son. That word, he kissed him. In the Greek, that word have, they say, three meanings. One is, he kissed him eagerly. Kissed him often. And kiss him earnestly. I read Spurgeon's sermon on this subject, and one sermon alone, 4 or 5 pages in very tiny beany letters, several pages, and he kissed him. He kissed him much. The son cannot get out of his hand. By the time the servants bring the things, the robe, and covered him up. And the father is keep on kissing him.
on each side. And the son tried to look at, is this my dad? Is he have this much love? I never knew this dad like this. He tried to look at his face. And he's under his cover, under his protection. And he covered him with a robe, the robe of the righteousness. And the ring he put him on. The authority and the assurance. By the time the next servant bring in the shoes and put the shoes on. And when the father kissing him and have the shoes on and walking in, the elders only can look at them. They cannot say a single word. The law has no hold on to them because of the love, because of the grace. What a love. The father's love. And the father is taking the son inside the house. Before they reach, the music already started. Because the servants gave the word already. They cannot believe the son who took everything from the father and run away, waste everything, and coming back. They can't understand this. But he ordered, bring the best calf, the fatted one, and cook immediately. And let's rejoice. What a wonderful story. The story doesn't end there. We didn't read all the way. We can see the older son refused to come to the house. That's the exact point our Lord wants these scribes and Pharisees to know. The son who was outside was inside. The son who was inside is now outside. And he refused to come in. Because he cannot understand this. He cannot comprehend this love. What is he doing? I was with him all this. I never wasted anything and I didn't get anything. That's one thing the scribes and Pharisees don't understand. Why all this crowd is after him? Because this crowd, the sinners and the fallen woman of the town, they all feel comfortable to go to the Lord. He always accepts them and he cleanses them. He heals them. They always feel home when they go near to him. But the Pharisees, they think they don't need any repentance. They think we are great. And this older son, he's so angry at the father. Not even willing to compromise with his dad. The father clearly told him, son, he is here. Let's enjoy at the same time. All my wealth is yours if you are worrying about the wealth. Father clearly saying to him, it's all yours. That's all he is looking for. Still he is not happy. And Lord, understand these Pharisees and scribes. You think you are inside. No, but you are outside. And what a love this father had showed to this son. Can you imagine how the son spent the rest of his days in that home? He always feel, I'm not worthy for this. I destroyed everything. But the father is continued to kiss him and bless him and love him. And the father accepted him as he is. He don't need to change anything. He didn't tell him, go and take a shower and cleanse yourself and get some better clothes. No. Today, anyone who hear me need that cleansing. Don't know this father. He will accept you the way you are. You can just come to him. He will accept you, and He'll love you, and He'll take you home. And you spend all your life and eternity with Him in the house. May His name be glorified. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Thy word. As we were meditating, we cannot comprehend Thy love. We are not worthy, but You still accept us, accepting us that we never committed any sin. Thank Thee for forgiving us. If anyone here today, Lord, touch their heart. Help them to come to Thee the way they are. Thank Thee for that promise. Thank Thee for Thy word. Help us to live for Thee in the days to come. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.